Okay, there is something that we will all experience. No matter where we are in the world, but we will all experience it. And this morning, as we talk about from being stuck to moving on, I want to start from that point. It doesn't matter what nationality we are, or if we're one of the wealthiest or poorest people. It doesn't even matter what beliefs you have. We all will have this common experience. Now, you probably know what I'm going to say, but once we're born, there is one thing we can all be certain of, and that is at some point we will depart from this world. We will depart from this world. Now, we may experience many seasons, or maybe just a few. But the reality is, we have no control over this. We have no control. However, what we do have control over is, firstly, whether we get stuck or we move on through seasons of our life. Because no matter how old we are, we all have already lived through several distinct seasons in our lives. So that's my first point that I'm going to pick up. And secondly, the point that there is one final season that we will all enter into. But where will you end up with regard to that final season? It can be very frustrating getting stuck. It can even be paralyzing. Now, I remember a time when I was physically stuck. I was about 13, 14, and I used to go to a church where my mum and dad went, and it was a work day down at the church. So I went off down the church with my dad, and I loved that because we'd have bonfires and all sorts of stuff. But me and a friend of mine decided we were going to climb up a tree, because on the edge there were some apple trees. And we thought, we'll tidy up the apple trees, or the loose apples that had fallen onto our next door neighbour's roof. So me and my mate, up we climbed the tree. We were then walking along this industrial unit's roof. And occasionally there were like this perspex see-through bits. And you can probably tell what's going to happen. As I was walking over the roof, picking up apples, I then took a step back and disappeared. Through one. But fortunately, I don't know how I did it, but I was able to, before I got all the way through, I'd sort of got my hands there and my legs were, and I was sort of like laying flat in air. And if I'd gone through, I would have landed on machinery and probably, you know, if not hurt myself seriously, maybe even died. But I was stuck. I wasn't going. I couldn't physically throw myself back up. My friend wasn't strong enough. So fortunately, some of the guys saw what had happened, that I was there and all of a sudden I wasn't. They shot up the tree and one of them reached in and pulled me out. Saved me from my position of being stuck. Though it was an accident and not my intention, I was stuck. Now, perhaps there have been times when you have experienced a situation like that, where you have got stuck. Perhaps with regard to a physical situation. Maybe you've been on a holiday, you've been by the coast, you've walked along the coast and you've been trapped by the tide coming in. Or maybe you've been out in the woods and you've got stuck in terms of where you are geographically. You have no idea which way to go. Or maybe you've got stuck in a situation where circumstances, just like a merry-go-round, go around and around and around, and you're unable to get off or out of that situation. Perhaps you've faced situations at work where you've felt stuck between a rock and a hard place, and you're not sure which way to turn. You're unable to move in any direction. You might even have felt, or maybe even, you know, actually been thinking, oh, I'm sure, an experience of déjà vu, where your life, or perhaps the way you are reacting, seems to be just the same. You think, oh, hang on, I'm sure I've done this before. It's like you've hit a repeat button, and it's just playing out over and over and over. But getting stuck doesn't just affect people. Even organisations can find themselves getting stuck. Very successful organisations can find themselves getting stuck. Sharon, my wife, used to work for Kodak. Now, they were a big, big company. And they still are pretty big. But in some ways, as a business, they got stuck. Because they were there processing films, developing films. And then what came along? Digital. Digital came along. And they thought, oh no, don't worry. Don't worry. It's not going to take off. It's fine. And they got left behind. They got stuck in the past. They then tried to catch up developing little Kodak cameras that were digital. But in terms of the general populace, they now aren't anywhere really. They do a little bit of film processing, but they do a lot now just with the films. You look on like cinema and stuff like that, and it says film made by Kodak. But they lost on a big part of their market because they got stuck. They thought, we're successful. We don't need to develop. We've got what we need. And maybe you can think of other companies that have done that similar process where they've hit on something and thought, yeah, this is it. This is it. I'm there. And the problem is, things develop, things change. Sad to say, even local churches find themselves stuck in seasons. The mother's group that begins when you're all in the 20s is still going on as the mother's group in their 80s. I know personally, when I've been working in churches, we've had youth groups running. And they've been very successful. But we need to think, is it still right to do it this way? Or do we perhaps need to change? So even in church, we can have periods when we're stuck doing the same thing because we've always done it. And that's how we're going to do it. Do you know we have a God who isn't stuck? He is always changing. He is always moving. And therefore, as a church, we too should be looking to do the same. The problem for both organisations and especially people is that they can get stuck in a season of life and for whatever the reason, they're unable to move on. They're unable to move on. Now, the idea of seasons is revealed in Scripture. Now, a lot earlier on from our reading this morning in Ecclesiastes, we see it, where Solomon talks about a time for. And we're going to come to that a bit later on. But you look even within that short reading from Luke, that seasons come and seasons go. Verse 5 begins with, when Herod was king of Judah, reveals a season in the life of the people of Judah and Israel about who was ruling them at that time. And kings come and go. Eventually, our own queen will go and we will have a new monarch. And you can see that in Scripture, can't you? That all throughout Scripture, it was the time of this person, the time of this person, the time of this king, that king. Good king, bad king. So at this time, these people are under the rule of Herod. And actually, he's not king of everything. He's just king of a couple of areas because the certain Romans are in charge. So they're under a season of persecution, occupation by the Romans. In this reading, we also discover that Zechariah and Elizabeth are about to move from one personal season into another, and that is of parenthood. How life was to change. And those who are or have been parents can testify to that. It is a complete change. We also see that Zechariah himself was not only in a season of his life when he was, you know, being chosen to be ministering in the temple. It was his turn to be there. But actually, he was also met with the angel, and his reaction to the news he gave was that he ended up becoming mute, unable to speak. How must he have felt for a brief season in his life where he was not able to share, not able to speak? What a season to be in. And then reflect on in later life. I wonder what he must have learned in that period of time. But what we also discover in years to come, as revealed through the words of Gabriel, that this child would enter a season of life where he would teach those around him and lay a path for the one who was to come, the Lord himself. Now, having in mind the idea of seasons, verse 16 in the New Living Translation also presents the idea that John would usher in new seasons in the lives of many Israelites. As it says, turning many to the Lord their God. Now to me, that suggests that these people are living not as God desires and are moving away from him. Yet John would restore the relationship between the people and God. And people will move from the season of disobedience to one of obedience. Now, as we've seen, seasons come and go. That brings me to Ecclesiastes 3. Everything has its time. Now, listen to these verses. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future into their minds. Yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Within these verses, we're provided with a glimpse as to the wisdom given to Solomon. He reveals that seasons come and that they go, and to expect unchanging happiness in a changing world will end in disappointment. As we read through these verses, I imagine two sides of a coin. You know, when you do heads and tails. Heads you win, tails you lose. It can be seen the same with regard to seasons in life. Alongside times of sorrow, there are times of joy. In reading through the list, we can recognise seasons in our own lives. And perhaps you might even see yourself in a certain season now. Solomon didn't write a time to weep, a time to weep, a time to weep, and a time to weep. It wasn't an exercise in writing lines for an after-school detention. You know, this would reveal the seasons remain, and in fact, life is the same on repeat. It wasn't like that. What I want us to recognize is that these verses reveal seasons change. Yes, there may be times when things are not great. Okay, there are times when things are not great. It's not all hunky-dory. But eventually, it will pass. If we look at verse 11, we can discover that people can think about the past and look to the future. However, it also reveals that however much we try to work it out for ourselves, there's actually a bigger picture. There is a bigger picture. And on this table, I've got a couple of jigsaw puzzles that are made up. They're Disney princess characters, because I got it from home, and it was when Esther was younger. I can't lift it up because it will all fall apart. But if you want to have a look, there is some pictures there. But they're made up of lots of individual pieces. And I have a bucket with jigsaw pieces in. And after this service, if you want to take one from one of these, feel free to do so, or take one out of the bucket, you can. But if you take one, I want you to also recognize that it is a reminder to you that actually, though you see this much in a season, there is in actual fact a lot more to this picture. Okay? There is a lot more to this picture. And the problem is, we want to know it all. We want to know it all, but actually, God's the only one who sees the big picture. So please, at the end of the service, if you want to, if you're coming up for prayer, or if you just want to come and grab one. And then take it with you. And then when you pick it out, either out of your pocket or out of somewhere, if you've got it on the side, you can look at it and say, yes, I know I'm in a season. I know I'm where I am, but I also am aware that I have a God who knows the big picture. And we can trust in him. We can trust in him. Now, the issue is, in society, we feel we need to know everything. We need to have a plan for every eventuality. Because we're man. We're humankind. And actually, we're the pinnacle and we know it all. And that we can deal with it all. We can cope. These verses tell us that we aren't going to know everything. And that actually seasons come and that they go. And as much as we can try and second guess life, we can never completely accurately predict what's just around the corner. Sometimes it might be better to slow it down and say, what will be, will be. Whatever place we are in, we need to discover that we are not walking it alone. God is in fact with us. Mountaintop or valley low, in each experience, we can be assured that we walk and are sometimes even carried through seasons of life. Some of you may, that picture might remind you of a poem. Footprints. Where it talks of, isn't it, about the person walking, and where were you? And God says, I was the one. They're my footsteps. I was carrying you. So as we journey through seasons, we are not alone. We are not alone. In considering seasons of life, it is also important not to wish seasons by. Let's not look at the next season before the one we are in is ending, as we might miss out on something that God wants to do. We might miss out on something that God wants to do. Where possible, let's try to live in the season we are in. Sometimes we need to live in the moment and not wish our life by. Now, this can be especially true for those of the younger generation. Or, I can't wait till I'm in sixth form. Or, I can't wait till I'm in university. I can't wait till I hit my 40s. Yeah. But you know what I mean? You know, we do. We end up thinking, oh, it's going to be so much better. You know, I know some of us, it may be, I can't wait till I retire. And all those in retirement saying, no, you don't. But we have this, you know, we're sort of like this striving on. We're going to get there, we're going to get there, we're going to get there. And that's okay. To think, where am I meant to be going? But actually, but not to rush it. Because that's the problem, especially with the youth, when we're young. We're like, yeah, life's, I'm off. What about living in the moment? Because, as I've said, we might miss something. We might miss something. And I know, as a parent, it can be very true for those in your school years. Can I encourage you to make time to study? Because I've got personal experience from raising people that actually, if you try and rush things, you can regret. If only I'd done that. If only I had tried for that season a little harder. And actually, that can apply to each of us, whatever season we're in. If only I tried a little bit harder. Now, it's not healthy to remain stuck in one season. Just as a year has four seasons, and each of them plays a part, so too it is for people. Seasons they go through, seasons both positive and negative, develop us, don't they? And sometimes people think, do you know what, I've grown so much more in that toughness. As in the natural order of things, if we stayed in winter, then everything would be affected. We would all need we need all the seasons to ensure food grows, that illnesses, bugs are controlled, because often the coldness kills the nasty bugs. It is the same with us. If we stay in a season and don't wish to move on, in the long run, it can have a negative impact on us as people. As we saw in Ecclesiastes, life has two sides to it. Even in the tough, we're able to grow and learn. If life was one big party, we would eventually grow tired of the same old, same old. Like Bill Murray in Groundhog Day. At the very beginning, it's all, yeah, that's all. He lives it, he relives it, and it's fine. And then he starts, oh, actually, I'm going to stop that person getting hit by that, do that. And he's thinking, oh, I've got a bit of control. I'm important, and I'm, you know. Anyway, I'm a bit of a god because I know what's coming. But eventually, it causes him frustration, madness, because he goes, I can't move on. We think it's great, but eventually it can have negative impacts on us as people. This might not only be seasons of life, but situations, as both Sharon and David have both shared in recent weeks. When we talked about forgiveness and about fear. In these areas, we can sometimes get stuck. But again, this isn't the healthiest situation. Bitterness and anger can take root if we remain stuck in a situation and don't move towards forgiveness. And we can remain fearful. We become bound by it if we're stuck captive in that. It's fear. I'm in fear. We can become captive to its control. As we were singing earlier, I'm just thinking of things going on in my mind. And I was brought back to me. Jesus is willing to take our yoke. Jesus is willing to take our yoke. Those burdens that are weighing heavy on us. The things that maybe are causing us to be stuck. Your yoke is heavy, mine is light. I really believe Jesus is saying, and God is saying, let me take those things that are weighing you down, that are causing you to be stuck, so that you can move on. You can move on. Whatever the season you are in, as I've already shared, God is with you, which is of great comfort, I hope. However, I also want to encourage us to look for support from his body here on earth. What I mean by this is our brothers and sisters in Christ. As I shared a couple of weeks ago, we're created to be in community. We're created to be in community. So in any season of life, whichever side it might be, in joy or sorrow, God's church is able to walk with you. For perhaps some have passed through that particular season already and can empathize with you while sitting or standing beside you. As we consider stuck to moving on, we can acknowledge and believe that though we do not always understand, God does. God does. I wanted just to bring in one more season in life that I wanted to highlight. As we walk through life, we have seasons. But actually, there is more to life than that. Imagine that is our life. That is, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. How many seasons have you lived through in that? Could be 10. I don't know. I don't know where you are at the moment. Whether you're in a season of joy or sorrow, whether you're hurting, whether you're loving. But look, how much more there is. This is eternity. Okay? This is eternity. And we will all end up there. Because at some point, as I've said, we move on from this life. We die. And there is sorrow in that. There is sorrow in that. But also, there is a choice. There is a choice. Where are you spending this? Look how much longer eternity is than what we have here on earth. Where are you going? Who are you spending eternity with? I don't know your situations. I don't know where you're going. But I pray that if you don't yet know Jesus, if you've not invited him into your life, that can affect your final season. And I would encourage you strongly, strongly to ask that for yourself and to consider the gospel, the good news of Jesus, because through Jesus we have salvation. Through Jesus we have eternal destiny with God. If we don't choose Jesus, Scripture says that we will be separated from him. And there's a tough, hard word. It talks about hell. And for me, that is separation, eternal separation from God. Where is your final season going? Where are you spending it? I wanted to share that because it's important for us to make those choices. Because yes, life has seasons, but there is one more season to come. There is one more season to come. Do you know how you are going to spend your final season? If you don't, I would be very happy to talk with you. David, our other pastor, would be happy to talk to you. There are your friends, if you come with somebody, they would be happy to talk with you. Some words that Bill Hybels ends this chapter with. When your current season begins to draw to a close, don't fight it. Don't drag your feet. Jump into the new season God is opening up to you and move on. Simplify your life by stepping forward, leaving the old season behind, and looking for the lessons God has for you to learn in the next season. You'll find meaning, purpose, and satisfaction for each season and beyond. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you do know the big picture, that nothing is of a surprise to you. And I ask that you would help us and stir us to come into your fold, to say yes to a life living with you. Because I believe you have a plan for us that will prosper and not harm us. Lord, I pray for the people in this room, for the families I represent. Speak to them. And I pray that we would all recognize that there is time to be in a season and there is time to move on. Help us not to get stuck in a perpetual round and round and round of the merry-go-round. Lord, we do not control when our times here will end. And we trust you for that. But we do have time and control over what seasons we live through in terms of getting stuck or moving on. Help us in that, Lord. In your name. Amen.